y'all. Welcome back to Let's Talk Travel with the Pretty Wanderer. And I'm the host, Fatima Barnes. So glad that you came back to join me again. I hope that last week's episode was helpful for you. So whether you're already a married couple that want to start traveling, or maybe you are single and you're thinking about your next vacation and what that's like, glad that you were able to get something from it. I really, really appreciated the feedback. So with that being said, this week we're going to kick it up a notch and we're going to talk about that one thing, and that is, could you ever live abroad? Would you ever go abroad if you could for work? So this week with special guest Sequez Mitchell, we're going to discuss living abroad and abroad aspirations. All right, so we should be used to this by now, but we're going to move on to today's tips, or as I like to say, pulling from my luggage of tricks. And this week is going to be a good one. Why? Because if you know me, you know how I feel about the benefits of travel credit cards. So I have talked about this faithfully, whether it was on YouTube or on my Instagram page. I know how beneficial travel credit cards can be, but I do know that there are times where you may apply for one, and even with great credit, you get denied, and you're like, what? Deny me? My score is XYZ, right? And so when that happens, there is a little tip that I tried, and it works. And I actually found out about this from, I can't even remember, but I read something about it, and I tried it, and it worked, so I want to share it. And so what you do is, there's a couple of things. Sometimes banks will deny you a credit card, even with great credit, for a variety of different reasons, right? It could be, even if you have outstanding credit and you have a great income, sometimes they may just deny you because they may say, you know, you may have applied for too many cards, or you may already have too many cards with that company. Sometimes it's very small reasons that doesn't have anything to do necessarily with your income and the amount of money that you bring in as far as, and your credit, right? So when that's done, usually you think like, oh, there's nothing that can be done about it. Wrong. So there is something that you can do that's called a reconsideration call, right? And so what this is doing is almost like an appeal to the bank for your credit card. It's basically you saying, I know you denied me, but I have the credit and I have the income for this card, and I need you to approve me. So most people don't know that you can do this. So this is how it works. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to call the number, right? And you're going to Google XYZ's reconsideration number. Okay. So say, let's use for an example, let's say it's Bank of America credit card, right? So you would Google Bank of America's reconsideration number. So you want to do that every time because the numbers could change. So when you call them, you're going to call that number, right? And tell them, hey, they're going to answer the phone and you're going to give them your information. And they're going to probably tell you, you know, we denied you for this, 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 or you can let them know that you denied for this, 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 right? And then this is where you let them know. You're basically going to sell the credit card companies on why they should give you that card. And if you are into the travel points world, you know why that's a big deal, because you know that you can literally get free trips off of a travel credit card. So this is why you're going to go through all of the work. So then you're going to let them know that, hey, I was denied. And then they're going to tell you like, okay, you were denied for whatever reason. And you're going to let them know that like, okay, I totally understand that, but I really want you guys to reconsider this decision. And so here's what you want to do. You want to tell them things like, you know, this credit card will help me. All of my friends have it and they raved about it. And I'm working on trying to get a trip to here soon for my family. Or you can let them know that you saw the card, you saw an ad for it, and it fits perfectly for you. And so if you can name some of the benefits that they have, that's even more helpful. And then you can even follow up with a few more statements that kind of let them know that, you know, if it's a bank you already bank with, like, I've been banking with you guys for years and I've always paid on time with no issues. And, or, you know, my friend banks with you guys and she raves about it. Or, I promise that I will use this card if I become a customer, like, forever, because, you know, you're selling them, you're giving them these reasons. And at that point, they're probably going to say, hey, let me give me a second. I'll come back with a decision. So if they say yes, great. Now you've got your new card, right? But if they say no, what you'll do is you'll say thank you politely. Don't get upset. Don't get angry. Hang up and immediately call right back. You want to do this for a minimum of 3 to 4 times. And I've seen someone, I think the person, I can't remember where I read that you can do this from. I think they said they've done it even up to 7 times before they finally got approved. So you got to be determined, but it works. It usually will work if you do it and you keep trying. Because sometimes you might run into a rep who just may not be having the best of days, or sometimes they may not be in a bad mood or whatever. And sometimes you'll run into somebody who's having a great day and they may say, hey, okay, let me just go ahead and approve them. So it definitely depends on the rep that you run into. But I tried it, and my husband tried it, and he did it, I think, 3 times. And he has excellent A1 credit. And he did it 3 times, and he was approved on the 3rd call. So that is my tip for today, and that is the reconsideration calls. As you may know, we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to travel enthusiast, podcaster, corporate woman, that is one of my best, Saquez Mitchell of Champagne Combos. I introduce to you all today's guest, Saquez Mitchell. Saquez Mitchell, just in case you haven't read your bio, or affectionately known as Bess, is here because she's actually lived that abroad life, and we're going to talk about it. Not only that, she's a travel enthusiast like myself and a certified life coach like myself as well. In addition to that, she's a new podcaster, and those are things that we're going to talk about. So, girl, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. Glad that you're here.
Thank you for inviting me. Only late.
You are so silly. So listen, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Because I've kind of introduced you in, and as they could probably tell, we just be on another one. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I am a 31-year-old New Orleans native. I currently reside in Nashville, Tennessee. It has grown on me. You know, at first I wasn't really feeling it, but it has grown on me tremendously. I'm a lover of God, people, travel, books, you know, growth, and all things beautiful, really. That's who I am.
Okay, then. All right. You better say that.
Right? Okay.
So listen, you're in Nashville now, okay?
Yeah.
But for the listeners that don't know, your work life and your work opportunities led you to another place. It also led you to Nashville. But can you give them an idea about you actually living and working abroad because of your job? You know, tell them about that. How did that come about?
Okay, so I first, you know, graduated from the Jackson State University. And so after graduating from Jackson State, my job relocated me to Rhode Island. So that's where my journey started. And then the opportunity presented itself, and I was able to move to the Philippines. And I was supposed to be in the Philippines for 6 months. And that 6 months turned into a year.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay. So your job just said, like, let's relocate you to the Philippines.
No.
For those that don't know, when I used to not know what you did for the longest, when they would ask me, like, what your friend do, I was like, she's big time for Schneider. You know, she's big time.
Not.
And so when you went to the Philippines, I didn't know what to tell them what you were doing. What were you doing there exactly?
So, one, not big time yet. Okay, we're going to do affirmations up in here. We're not big time, comma, yet, period. however, it happened, it truly happened organically, and I truly feel like God just planned it out. I want to kind of start where it started from. So basically, I was on a team that I loved, but I kind of hit that ceiling. I didn't want to go up because mm-hmm. with the opportunities that was above me, I didn't care for, and I couldn't go down, right? We don't go down, we go up. So okay. I was trying to do more of a lateral move. And it got wind from my boss and my boss's boss that I was trying to get off the team. And so that opportunity started from there. And from there, they said, okay, Sequez, we're doing an exchange program. And what was, they didn't say specifically me, but they said it to the entire team. And I spoke to my boss's boss's boss. At the time, her name was Heather. And her and I built a relationship because she heard that I was trying to leave the team, and she took me out to lunch and asked me what I wanted to do and things like that. And so when that opportunity came to about, I went to her to have a conversation and was like, I think this would be a really cool thing for me to do. And she was like, go for it. I think that would be great for you. And so I interviewed, killed it. And
No surprise.
I went to the Philippines and I was the transformation lead there. So that's what I was doing, transformation and basically assisting the team and management in whatever way possible so that we can have a better and stronger team with resources and just also understanding cultures, right? We have to be culture sensitive and culturally aware when doing business in other countries. And so understanding how they in the Philippines operated and how they did business and how they had to, their schedule was totally different than ours. They were still moms and dads, but they had to work at night, but still bring their children to school in the morning. And it was definitely an experience. So long story short, I was a transformation leader in the Philippines.
What, girl, listen, that had to be exciting. And like, just like you said, for it to align that way, for it to work out for you, I'm sure when that came about, you had probably like a lot of thoughts crossing your mind, right? Like, you had probably all kind of things, excitement, nervousness of not knowing, moving to a whole nother country. You know what I'm saying? So when that happened, like, what made you decide to just kind of like go for it? Like, what made you just decide that?
Honestly, friend, to be completely honest, I don't know if I was necessarily nervous more than anxious. I think how my life is set up where I experienced Hurricane Katrina and had to be uprooted and go and move to Memphis, right? And after Memphis, I graduated from high school and had to uproot and move to Jackson, Mississippi. And after Jackson, I had to uproot and move to Rhode Island. And I moved to Rhode Island not knowing a single person, right? So, and my parents always made us like go travel and do things like that. So it was not really a nervousness, more of like an anxious. Like I was just kind of anxious to see what it was all about. But basically, I had nothing to lose and just everything to gain, right? So if I didn't get the opportunity, I would at least got, exposure. That my managers and everyone else would have known that, okay, Sequez is willing to travel abroad, right? So they would have that knowledge, or I would have basically at least learned that how to interview better if I didn't get it, right? And if I did get it, hello, my life would have the opportunity to expand personally and professionally. So I had nothing to lose but everything to gain.
Yes, that makes so much sense. Because like if you don't go, like at least you try. You know what I'm saying? Like I definitely love that. Like just I'm a big believer of just going for stuff when opportunities like that present themselves. And I am so proud of you for
Thanks,
that.
friend.
That was dope. So speaking of, listen, I went to visit you while you were there, okay? And I can say that the Philippines was lit. Like,
Lisa.
and I was there for a short amount of time, but we ate really good and like we had a ball. Like I definitely love it. And you was not only that, you was living like a queen up there,
Even though
honey.
you
Had
left my allergy
apartment.
medicine in the taxi, but that's another story. Continue.
Well, we're not gonna talk about that, okay? We're not gonna get into that. It was an accident. You're never gonna let me live that
No,
down.
no.
So so for those that don't know, Sequest had really bad allergies in the Philippines, and the medicine there didn't work as good as ours. So I was supposed to bring her some, and I left it in the Uber in New York when I was on my way flying there.
And didn't
So
notice
yeah,
until you got there.
didn't notice until I got there, and she has not let me live that down since. But it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, but it was so like I definitely I can see why you enjoyed living there. But on the other side of that, there were some experiences that even I experienced when I came there to visit you. Like the staring and things like that. So can you talk about some of those experiences about you being there, being not only being an American but being like a Black woman, in the Philippines working and living. What was that like for you?
So the experience overall, right, was amazing. You know what I mean? Like it was phenomenal. You know, you being this person who's making US dollars and living on Filipino pesos, right? Like it was great. However, you did have your moments. You know what I mean? Like the first thing I would say, the very first thing that like rocked your girl, you know, like rocked me was the stairs. Like the stairs was just intense. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like no a quick stair. It was like full on
Girl.
stair. And while you're walking, they're turning their heads to continue the stair. So every other day, I'm going off on somebody. Like every other day. But then again, like at the, you know, while you live in it, right? So you kind of ignore it, you get immune to it, and you don't even think about it. And so again, I was reliving it when my friends came to visit, right? Because it was their first time experiencing something so direct in your face. I would say the hair was a thing. I went to the Philippines with some beautiful braids. And of course, right? Like they're asking, like, oh my goodness, like how did you get your hair like that? And of course, me being a Black woman, we're all about our hair. And so everyone in the Rhode Island office knew how I was about my hair. So even, you know, they was joking, like, "What you gonna do about your hair? Because what we gonna do?" I was like, "Well, we're gonna pack wigs, honey. We're not about to go out here without being covered in some way." So me constantly changing my hair or them seeing me in my natural state and wanting to touch my hair. That was an experience, but that was a more in true ignorance versus how we hear in America. Like, so you know, like it's enough of us for you to know. You know what I mean?
Like you
You
know that.
know. I would say another was the photos. Like, people, tourists, Filipinos, and you know, some of the tourists, like when the Chinese would come visit or whatever, and they see you and they want to take a picture. And I'm like, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not her. Like, you know, like that ain't me. But eventually, again, you adapt, right? So now I'm like, okay, paparazzi, take a photo. Like, it's nothing. I think you learn and you adapt. But overall, I would say my experience was so amazing, and now I have a goddaughter and a godson from that lives in the Philippines now. So it was definitely an experience, but and I had my little moments, but it was cool.
Okay. So I think that is so awesome because you got to experience what a lot of people don't get to experience. And that's what life is like for others outside of America. And I'm sure that, and actually, I know I've seen the transformation in you and just how you think and how you operate. That changes you for the better. Even when you just travel, I've never lived outside the country, but even just traveling along, we talk about all the time how that really just shifts your mind and really makes you just think about things so much differently than you probably would have prior to. Do you feel that kind of happened to you? Like, do you feel that that really changed
I
you?
definitely feel like I changed, right? Like I changed, but in I don't want to say I changed. I think I more just evolved a little bit more, and understand, like, and then coming back to America, and you like you look at America differently, but you also you're different. You're not the same person that you once were. Well, hopefully, when you come back, right? Like if you haven't grown in 6 months, 12 months, and has and emerge and you emerge your, immerse yourself into a culture, and you didn't come out with some sort of better understanding, shame on you. And it was definitely a true experience just to look back, and I learned so so much, like not taking other people's word for it, you know, like work, like take other people's word and just actually just going out and learning. Funny, I was in Rhode Island and we had people to visit Rhode Island, to visit the Philippines office out there. And there was like Sequez, girl, let me tell you, make sure you have every all the feminine need, hygiene products you need, because all they do is menstrual pads, right? And I was like, I need more than that. I need options. And so I went to Walmart and I literally stocked up on tampons. Like when I tell you, I stocked up, like stocked up. And when you go, you just listen to other people and they tell you what you are going to experience. They tell you how it's going to be, but that's their experience. And understanding that you have to experience things on your own. And when I lived there, I learned that that's completely untrue and completely, it's completely inaccurate. Now, granted, a lot of them did not, Filipinos did not know what tampons were. And I was given out tutorial lessons, but they still had those they still had, you know, those options to do that, right? And I learned from that situation. I left the Philippines literally with a year of supply of tampons, did not need them. But what I learned from that is not taking other people's word for it. Experience it your own. On your own. And one thing that I really loved about the Philippines that I really kind of am so disappointed about America is how they and I wouldn't even say just the Philippines, but specifically Asians hold their elders in such high regard, and how they truly, truly honor the elders and honor their grandparents, and like they have a line specifically designated for the elders. How they hold family close to their hearts. It's such a different and beautiful experience, and how we just do not do right to our elders here in the US. We just really, and so it just brings a lot of how Asians take care of family and the whole family dynamic. And it brings a lot to light in how we really need to do
Right.
better, for
And
sure.
you and I have kind of talked about this before about how with some other cultures, especially overseas, especially specifically in the Asian culture, you know, for if you look at the situation with Corona now, there are some Asian countries who have actually beat coronavirus, right? Had very low cases, had maybe 6 deaths. I want to say like maybe it was Taiwan that only had like 600 and like 6 deaths, 600 cases and like 6 deaths, because they got on it and was just like, okay, whatever we need to do to fix this and get this out the way. They closed the borders. They did everything they needed to do right then, and they beat Corona. Like literally, they beat coronavirus, right? Because they all tend to think more family based, more our, you know, the whole as a whole base. Whereas in America and on this side of the, you know, the Western civilization, we tend to think more individualistic, right? There's a lot of people
More for
here that
self.
feels like, you know, I'm inconvenienced and I'm this and I'm that. But when you kind of travel over there, you're like, well, they have way more people in some of those countries than we have, and they were able to beat it because they tend to think more like family. So it's really no surprise that what you saw is how they take care of their elders and how they are as far as like what they have to do as a whole in society is very different. So that really is no surprise when I think about
And
current events right now going on.
to add to that though, right? We also on the disappointing side is also knowing that colorism is not just an Asian, I mean, just not an American thing. You know, when you came to visit and you know, you saw all the umbrellas and like and there's some Filipinos with way darker hues that we're not that we don't really see that often, but they're there, they're present. You know, I was the biggest shocker for me was all of the lightning services. And remember, you and I talked about that constantly because you were
I
so
was just
shocked.
so
But
shocked.
like the, you know, people lighting their skin and even asking me if I wanted to get my skin lightened. And I had to be very cautious about lotions that I buy, because
Mm-hmm.
lightning creams, lightning's active ingredients are in those lotions and soaps and things like that. So it's amazing how different the cultures are, but a lot of things are has is so
Similar.
ingrained in just cultures, period, that it just shows both sides of the spectrum for sure.
Right, because I remember you and I, we went to the spa, girl, and listen, that spa day
Yeah.
was lit, okay?
Can we
I
talk about,
always
okay, we'll
tell
have to
people
talk about
about
that
that
spotty
spa
baby.
day. Like, I always tell them about that 8-hour spa day for $100 and how we got
Wasn't
the
100 all day.
works.
It was crazy. It was
How
so
we got
good.
the works. But remember when we were getting facials, honey? I told the lady, like,
Yes.
uh-uh. She was like, this brightening cream. What you mean brightening? What you no. We're not gonna do that. What you mean?
You were so
She was
TTG,
like,
Supreme
no,
of
it's supposed to be
Sound.
make radiant. I was like, okay, make radiant, but not make light. Don't be putting no bleach on me. Like, I was not playing, because it was really just sad and disheartening to see, like, all those every in that mall we went to, like, all those shops. It was so many people, like, lightening services and bleaching services, and come in
Yeah,
here and you
yeah.
get your bleach. Whereas in a here, typically you see tanning salons. It's about as prevalent as seeing a tanning salon as seeing being bleached. And I was just like, what? So when we went to the spa, I was like, honey, don't be bleaching me. Like, I need my melanin. Like, and she was just like, no, you were laughing at me, but I was serious. I was like,
But isn't it amazing how you can get accustomed and acclimated something so quickly that at once it was a shocker and now it becomes,
right.
the norm. It's like we normalize, like how we normalize bad things here in America. I just got so used to that, it didn't even faze me. And to see your reaction, because you were so TTG, you were so trained to go, like you was just, I'm like, Fatima, bring it back, bring it back, sir.
So nice,
You
though.
know what I mean? But it's a thing. It's a real thing
Yeah,
for
they were
sure.
so nice though, and they understood why I was so like adamant about it. But what, because they're like, okay, she's American. Like, they knew at that point, like, okay, she's very adamant about not lightening her skin.
I think the whole spa knew at that point.
I was like, I don't want them to sneak no bleaching in me. I don't know what they're gonna do. Like,
Oh
listen,
my
that was
God.
my first time going, like, seeing that, like, actual bleaching places. So for me, you had been there for a while, but for me, I was just like, whoa. So, like, but that
Right.
facial was bomb though. But I
Man.
definitely have to let them know. So let's tell them about this spa day, honey, because this spa day was everything.
Was crazy. I think you came in and I think I let you sleep for a couple of hours and I'm like,
Yeah.
my friend is here, we gotta go. Let's
Yes.
start the day. And of course, when you're in the morning, you're cranky as I don't know what. So I was like, let's feed her first. We're gonna feed her first. And then you got your energy. And we went to the spa. I think we went to the spa, what, around 11
Was
a.m.
early. Like, we got there in the
And we
morning.
didn't get out till like
Yes.
5:30-ish. Walking out, eyes hurting because we're not used to sun. Like, what is this? We had blackheads extractions. We had body wraps,
Everything.
body scrub, the hot box.
Reflexology. I love
Yeah,
reflexology.
you was just, I don't know what was going on with you with your reflexology. You was in a whole
Reflex,
other
I mean,
world.
it was everything. Like, they did the full body scrubs.
Was
It was
crazy.
the full body massage. Like, I never had no massage like that. Like, it was.
Yo, they're small, but they're mighty,
Yes, Kim
okay?
Dog-on basically stood on my back. I was like, okay, sud, like, they did it. Like, we got the works. Ain't no way in America you could get all of that for $100.
Oh my goodness, I lived, it was like $70.
Yeah,
Like,
it after
and
tip,
I
I
was telling
think
you, I was
we
like, I
paid
do
like
this every weekend.
$100. Yeah. It was, yeah, I think we paid like $100 after, like, we tipped and all of that. So,
Tip, that was like
yeah,
$100.
it was
Yeah.
definitely worth
And
it.
that's a manicure in
Yeah.
freaking
And
Nashville.
you know,
That's crazy.
right, I paid more than that for my nails and stuff like that. Plus, we had also that included our manis and pedis. Like, I had got my nails done and we got our pedicures, which
Gel.
that was the best pedicure I ever had. That pedicure lasted me. Like, I legit did not have to get a pedicure again, just a toe polish for like 6 months after that. I never had a
I
pedicure
remember because you
last that
kept talking
long.
about it every time you got on the phone. I was like, surprise, my feet is still so soft. I'm like,
It's crazy because they don't even use like the little, the little scraper thing they use here and all that. I don't know how they did it or what they use, but my
oh
pedicure legit
my.
lasts 6 months. Like it legit lasted 6 months. So for those who are thinking about visiting the Philippines, just make sure you go to the spa while you're there, you know?
Moa. It was in Moa. Mall of Asia is one of the biggest malls in the world. Check them out.
Oh, I love that mall. I did.
And I'm right across the street from it. I had the best view at night. It was
You
crazy.
did. You had it. Like you had a driver and a doorman and like a cleaning service, the whole nine.
Yes.
Like you got to really live it up with those US dollars over there, honey. Like for
And
real.
we just comment on the traffic and the driving.
Oof.
Oh my gosh. Like, you would never appreciate American drivers until you go to the
Listen, and I be complaining about the drivers here, but when we went to the Philippines, I was just like, let me just hold my head down. Like,
Y'all, the anxiety for the
ooh,
first
they don't
months
use
was.
no lanes. They just wherever they get in, where they fit in, it's
Was
no
going
love.
down one-way streets, like the wrong, like no one cares. It was
It
just like
was, yeah,
relive.
that's how it was in Bali too, girl. I was just like, oh
Oh,
Lord.
Bali was
Yes,
stressful.
the driving was, if you are a backseat driver, you need to be ready to have you some Valium or something with you when you go to some of these countries because their driving is so different. But you know
Crazy.
they have less
Crazy.
car accidents than we do. What blows my mind.
Sad.
That is
That's
so sad. Like they literally drive like that and they have way less car accidents than we do in America. And we have all these rules on the road and we have more car accidents.
telling.
It's crazy.
That's telling.
So
That's telling
crazy.
in some way.
Yes. So another thing about your experience though, because I kind of talked about this in a past episode, right? So typically when or maybe was it my episode? I think I did a podcast with someone else. But basically, I talked about how, when we typically see other Americans or specifically African Americans, but even Americans too, outside of, the States, when we see them over there, it's kind of like this, okay, girl, I see you. Even if you don't say anything else, but like you give each other the nod, you ask where you're from. It's this an instant like, okay, I see you. I'm glad you're here. We connect, right? So when you're living there, I'm sure it's a whole nother level of that, right? Because you're there for X amount of time and you have your sisterhood back home because you and I will have to talk on the phone at like it would be the oddest times because our times were
So
so
odd,
different. So when we would talk on the phone, like we had to take into account the 13-hour time difference. So your sisterhood was on a whole nother time zone. And then you are there and did you? I met some other people that you met there. So let's talk about that. How was the sisterhood there, seeing other women such as yourself that you connect with?
It was cool, man. Like, I honestly, it was awesome, right? So I did have Lashina, who wind up going to the Philippines as well. So I had someone. But we had our own journey. It was very interesting, and I met some amazing women who's from America, who's living in the Philippines as well, like Tish and
Yes,
Jessica,
I love Tish.
different people. And it was cool. And so she had her friends from her job that were Black women that came too, and so it was just a vibe, right? So we had our own collective group. And in that we met Min, who was also a part of the group. And so you have all these people from different backgrounds, America, some countries, different countries in Africa, Germany, all come together and just have a good time. And I was able to have like an amazing birthday party. And people was like, how do you have all these Black people in your picture at your birthday party in the Philippines? And I'm like, 'cause listen, we everywhere. We're everywhere, so it was awesome.
Right. A lot of people don't realize that we out there,
Out
And that's,
there,
yeah,
for
like that's
sure.
why I wanted to like do this in the first place. It's all about just inspiring us to realize like we're out there, like you should be out there. Like I thought that I was so lit. Like when I came, I got to meet Tish and I thought she was so awesome. Like we're still like Facebook friends and stuff to this day. So like I thought that that was so dope that you still were able to like have some type of sisterhood, because I know how important that is to myself and you as well, like to just kind of have that. So I was just so glad to see that you were able to have that. And I do know that when we go in other countries, there is this like connection of like we naturally want to cling to each other and stick together. It's rare that you don't see us do that when we're in those settings. It's very rare. So I did love that. So what could you say to someone who would like to, pursue or align themselves in the workplace to receive those kind of opportunities? Because you honestly, while you were there, you maximized your time, honey. You were traveling to so many other places close by because it's cheaper and you're closer, so it's not as long a flight to go to some places that people only dream about. So how could one align themselves, or what should they be doing in the workplace to possibly get on that path to receive an opportunity such as the one you received?
You know what? I would say two things, right? The first thing I would say is be vocal. Be vocal about what you want. And that's why you have your manager and you have HR, right? Your HR representative, because their goal is to help you grow professionally in your career development. So be vocal about what you want. So if you are interested in being an expat or in traveling abroad and working out there, have an understanding of what that entails. Find the opportunities of what that is like, and go to your manager. Like, hey, I've been doing some research. We have a team out in Hong Kong, and they're working on X, Y, and Z. And I feel like this would be great, and we could take that information and bring it to us. Like, find the opportunity and put yourself in a place where you can get those opportunities. But no one will know unless you're vocal about it. Now, I am a vocal person. Okay. But I honestly, to be completely transparent, I wasn't saying to my manager and all of them, like, I want to go da 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 da, right? Like I wasn't vocal about that, because it wasn't a part of my mind. I knew that I didn't want to live in America my whole life. You and I have had several conversations like that, but I didn't know, right? However, when I found out that there was an opportunity, what did I do? I went straight to my boss, and like, yo, that's what I want. And the only reason why I skipped those people is because her and I had a straight relationship. So I don't suggest go skip over your people to get what you want. But if you have that resource, if you have that relationship, then of course do what you have to do and communicate about it. And I will also say, the second thing I would say is, please understand, before the whole COVID-19 pandemic came to the forefront, companies were redu to reduce overhead, they had people working from home, right? Like, a lot of people was working from home. And so when I went to Thailand, specifically Bangkok, and if you have not been to Bangkok and you really want to party, okay, like party,
Oh, I
Bangkok,
heard
wait,
about the
oh.
party.
When I went to Bangkok, I met so many amazing Black people there, and also specifically Americans. And so what they were doing was, they was working their CCC job, like the customer care job, in America based, right? And since they didn't even go into the office, they was living in Thailand. So they making
Oh, that's a
US
good idea.
currency and living on Thai baht money. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Right, and we
I
know how that is.
so your ex it's like so your currency exchange rate is extremely high, and so you're saving money, you're traveling, because if you're on that side of the world, the price for flights is way less. It takes more money to fly from Nashville to New Orleans than it does from Thailand to Paris. You know what I mean? So you're saving so much money, you're traveling. So also look at that. Look, just if you really want to travel and you want to live abroad, you can get a US-based job. Make sure you pay your taxes, all right? And make sure your paperwork is in alignment, and work your US job and live in a different country. It is totally possible. I want to be honest that working those American hours can be taxing at times because I had to do it. But it's definitely worth it. So there's opportunities and there's options where you can do it. You just have to do it.
Right. You just have to position yourself. And you and I talk a lot too about, even just in general, when it comes to the workplace, about networking too.
Oh, you already
And just
know.
kind of networking. And to me, I learn a lot from you about networking and, putting myself out there, because, you're really good at it to me. So networking can kind of help open those doors too, because, hey, you not had that direct relationship with someone that you could express that to, then, who knows what would have happened. But you were able to kind of skip some folks because you had a direct relationship with someone. So
Yeah.
that's a testament to that networking piece of it as well. Yes, that is. So, question overall, I have an overall question to kind of sum this up, but not really, because we're gonna get into this travel tea.
Oh,
But
Lord.
yes, because yeah, it's a whole nother layer to
She's
this if we don't
sweating.
know.
She's sweating a little bit. She's sweating a little bit.
So, what did the experience teach you overall? And do you look at America differently? And you kind of mentioned this a little bit, but just to anyone who may have reservations or maybe thinking about it, what could you say to them?
I'll take the first part first. What did I learn? I would say that life is what you make it, and there is opportunity for expansion in your thinking, in your surroundings, in the way you approach things if you pay attention, give yourself the opportunity to tap into it. If you give yourself the yes to take that trip, or the yes to, you know what, I'm gonna travel by myself, or I'm gonna do it in spite of I'm being nervous or fearful about it. Like, just taking those opportunities, because some you're lucky if it comes around again, but sometimes it don't, and you want to seize those moments, and those moments create experiences that you would never forget. And as far as, do I look at America differently? I think that it's when you are in America and America is all you know, and no shade if that is all you know, but if America is all you know, I feel like you have a very skewed way of thinking and looking at things, and you don't take other things in account. When we talk about looking, when I first went to the Philippines and the staring and all that, and understanding that it's not personal, it's cultural, right? And when you start to have that mindset, and you're opening up your mindset to the understanding that things are all not always surface level, that a lot of things come through experience, through culture, through ways of thinking, you're more open to understand better. And I think when I came back to the US, I noticed how people's thinking are so skewed because they only seen what was in their backyard. And we have this false narrative that America is like the country, it's just everything. And we're good in some things, but I promise you, we're not number one in as many things as you think. Very low on a lot of lists. And there is so much more than what we learn in the classrooms, than we learn on the street or in our day-to-day conversation. And so it is your obligation to tap into something different and to learn and expand yourself. So that's what I learned, and that is definitely what I see America being different.
Girl, you just summed that up so perfectly.
I do
Like,
what I can,
you
whatever.
did that. You did that.
He's free.
I mean, look at you inspiring people. Inspiring people. Okay. I do love that. I do. Because even though I've never lived overseas, but just being a traveler, and this, just being a traveler, like, you definitely change and you definitely look at things and you definitely understand, like, okay. This notion that America's number one in everything and everybody else sucks, it's not necessarily true. And it doesn't mean that you don't love America, but you just can look at it through another lens. You're just not myopic in everything. You have a different view. You're able to look at things from the bigger, rounder picture when it comes to certain things,
right?
Because you have that exposure. So,
and you also able to empathize, right? Like,
yes,
you can empathize more. You can understand, like, the immigrant, you know, people that are immigrants and how they have to learn a whole different culture and a whole different language.
Mm-hmm.
You can empathize mm-hmm. more. And I feel like if we just only empathize with people more, we would be so much further along than we are now.
Right. I think empathy is huge. And I think traveling, if anything, teaches you. Some people just don't have it in them, but it is a way where you can, like, really, because, like, let's just face it, there are some people who travel and they don't really get into the culture. They don't immerse themselves in their environment, mm-hmm. and they come back the same.
Yeah.
And I do feel sorry for those people. But so that's what I mean by, like, some people just don't, they don't, they still will come back and say, why they don't do it like this? Like, this is how we do it in America, you know? Like, and it's like, they don't take that, like, it's more than just sitting on a resort and on the beach the whole time.
Instagram.
And, you know, it's other things that goes into it. Right. So I think that's what I mean when I say, like, you know, if you're a real traveler, not just a tourist, and I talked about this in episode 1, but if you're a real traveler, you should change in some kind of way. And in your case, if you go and you live overseas, like you said earlier, if you go over there and you don't come back evolved or with something different, then, like you said, shame on them.
Yeah.
Shame
I still
on
have
them.
I'm not gonna lie, I still have my American moments when I was in Bali, and it had us on this little, was it Bali or was it Thailand? And they had us on this little tuk tuk, and I was like, where's the seatbelts, baby? I need seatbelts, I need doors. You know what I mean? I still have my American moments, but you know.
Well, we all do. We all do. We all do. I definitely still have mine sometimes too. Because I'm still American at the end of the day.
Be like, not too far removed now.
Yeah, we not acting like we was on our Eat, Pray, Love completely. But, you know, we definitely still have our moments. But overall, yeah, you know, we got it. Okay. So now I'm going to move on to what I like to call travel tea. And that's usually a hot topic or something to kind of talk about that's in the travel community. And so, one of the things that we did not talk about in the conversation above is dating while overseas, okay? Because, you know, if you're in any travel groups, you hear people talk about, you know, their hookups or their meeting their husbands or whatever the case may be overseas. So it's always something that's a hot topic, right? We see it every day if you follow any travel groups. And you went over there single, but you came back with you a man.
Oh,
my
God.
So,
I can't stand you.
So we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about what dating like out there. Because I know some of the women, you know, they would love, you know, they want to do the opportunities. They want to work over there. But I know that there's some single women out there that wonder, like, okay, what is that going to be like? Like, what is that going
to
be like? So
everybody just listen to her. Everybody just stop listening.
I want to talk about that. Yeah. We're going to talk
what
about that.
What you want now, friend? What you want now, friend?
So explain to these ladies what that dating life was like in the Philippines. Because, I mean, you know, I would hear the stories and I would just be like, okay, so.
Oh, please. Don't do that because you met one of them. Anyway.
I know. I did.
So my dating life was popping. Okay. I think, again, like, we have these preconceived notions, right? We just automatically just think it's just one way. And I didn't go over there thinking I was going to have a dating life whatsoever.
Right.
You know, you have made fun of me since we've been friends about, like, what type of man I'm going to marry, and we're not even going to talk about that. But anyway, so my dating life was crazy. But I think it's the important part is to open yourself up, right? Like, you're in a new country and you have the mindset, like, I'm in a new country, nobody know me or whatever. Like, just make sure that I keep my work, my professional work over there and my personal life over here. And, you know, I dated from a business owner to a professional basketball player over there. So it was definitely an interesting fun experience. And if you're open to dating abroad, sis, do it. It's fun, girl. It's fun. And then you might wind up bumping into King, you know what I'm saying? And he shift your life a little bit, shake things up a little bit. You're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna put my player card down a little bit real quick, give you a little entertainment.
Right. And dates over there looked like they was on a whole nother level, because a date for y'all was like, let's just go on over there to Bangkok for a
What
date for the day.
are you calling
Like, we can't do that over here. So
definitely went to Bangkok on a date. Definitely.
And I just made
We
that one.
definitely did. But to be fair, he was already living in Bangkok or whatever. And he, you know what? Never mind. That's gonna be like a part two to this story. If y'all want to have a whole segment on just the dating life. People be telling your business,
Lord.
friends.
Yeah, I just wanted because I know, people worry about that. And I personally just say, like, if it happens and you meet someone great while you're over there, I just say go for it. Like, don't close yourself
No.
off, Did you ever date any of the Filipinos that were there? Did you date other people?
Nah, I didn't do it. Nothing's wrong with it. But she didn't do that. She didn't do that. But you know what's also interesting about the whole dating life in the Philippines was, that the dating pool, right, is pretty interesting, because you date and you're like, oh, why are these men not in America, right? Like, it's different. And then you run into one and you'd be like, America was not that bad. So I had both sides. You met one of them, and you've definitely gave me your mind, and you did have a debate, if you want to politely call it debate, with him
Yes,
in
we
public,
did.
which was kind of embarrassing. But so I think it's you're gonna get it all. But I think just be open, like if you said, just be open to it, and if you like it, do it, and if you don't, it's all right. You're not gonna see him no more anyway, sir.
Gotcha. Yes. So just wanted to make that the travel tea for today. So what advice would you give someone out there about dating overseas per se? Like, we've talked about being open, we've talked about that. So what's your advice overall, right? Is it that different from dating in America, or is it no different than dating anywhere else? Because I've been out the game for a
I'm
long
about to
time,
say,
so
you
I
really
don't
can't
know.
get no real input. You've been snatched off the market. Dating there was definitely interesting. It was definitely an interesting experience. Specifically, I'm gonna say specifically in Asia, specifically in the Philippines. Of course, it was a lot of Africans. So I dated a Nigerian. I dated somebody from Ghana, then from somebody from Uganda, a couple, from different parts of the continent of Africa, motherland, and also dated an American out there. But I think that dating is dating regardless, right? Two people coming together to see if they mesh. And I would say that it wasn't as gamey, and I'm doing air quotes. It wasn't as gamey because your selection is not as big as it would be back in America, right? So it wasn't as quote unquote gamey. But you still had your trifling people. You still had your the people that may have felt like they were the prize. And I'm like, oh, you got me confused. Okay, like, you're honored to meet me. And you also had your people who wanted a green card. That really exists.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was gonna
Yeah, like
ask. Like,
that's a real
how
thing.
is
I
that?
haven't experienced it, but I definitely had a friend out there who definitely did experience it. And I knew someone that worked at our company who got married and saw somebody there, got married, and come to find out he was swinging for the same team. But like, at the end of the day, like, if things happen, Okay. So be discern, have discernment, you know, make sure that you're making the right decision and have fun. Like keep it light, keep it fun. And if it do blossom to something beautiful, then enjoy it. But don't put too much pressure on it. And live and travel and do all the things that you want to do.
Right, you are so right about that. Because you know what, that was what I was going to ask about. That was one reason why it was on travel too, because I was going to ask how real was the 90 Day Fiance kind of setup thing that you see.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of one of the popping shows. You know,
That's
like how real that is, and you really kind of definitely
it's a
answered that
real
that it's a
thing.
very
It's
real
a real
thing.
thing. And I've definitely learned a lot about like passport discrimination to, you know, it's definitely a real thing for sure.
Right. Okay, well, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have a couple of questions from our listeners that we're going to answer today. Okay, we're back and we're going to get into these questions from our listeners. I think the questions are going to be great and we're going to get into it. So, all
Okay.
right. The first question that I received via email is, "Hi, my name is Nakaya, and I am interested in working and living abroad, but fear that I will be too culture shocked and will want to come back home from being homesick. I've never really traveled much, but don't want to miss possible opportunities on the job." That's a good one. Good one, Nakaya. So,
Okay.
what are your
Go
thoughts,
ahead.
girl?
So I feel you, right? Like culture shock is a thing, you know, being culture shock is a thing. Like we said, we was culture shock with the staring to the timing. Like we didn't know, like what is going
Right,
on?
right.
But also understanding, like, yes, you may be culture shocked, but also, however, you're human, right? And by being human, you're able to understand and adapt. And you will adapt if you give yourself and allow yourself the permission to adapt and not just focus on, oh my goodness, this is so different than I'm what I'm used to. You wasn't used to going to school, but you learn, you got used to it, you adapted, you know, you wasn't used to doing a lot of things, but we're human, so we know how to adapt. So give yourself the opportunity to adapt, embrace the difference in the culture, the language, the food, and the people. And once you let go and all of that and just embrace it, you would have the best time of your life, but you have to let go and just enjoy it. So I would just say, just give yourself time and permission to adapt and have a good time, girl.
That is so right. And that goes along with, like I always say about anything that pertains to international traveling, is having an open mind is going to be
Yeah, open
critical.
mind.
Like having that open mind, like you said, to be open to experiences and understand that with opportunities like this, they don't happen often, right? They don't happen for everyone. So if you have an opportunity like that, or if you're seeking an opportunity like that to come up, then you should definitely understand that since it's a once in a lifetime kind of thing, or it just doesn't happen that often for everyone. Like knowing that you should be there living it up like you will never come back, right? Like you should be there
Yeah.
really embracing it and taking it in and understanding that if you get homesick, which is normal, right? But if you get homesick, understand home is going to be there. America ain't going
Yes.
nowhere. You have this one opportunity, whether it's you're going for a job or studying abroad or whatever the case may be, like you have this one opportunity to really live your best life, explore the world, go to different places, not just the place that you will be, you know, working in, but like you will be able to experience so much that not everyone can say that they will experience, right? So,
Yeah.
like, go there with that mindset and that open mind of knowing that this will probably never happen again, and I am so blessed and grateful to have the opportunity to be here. So I'm gonna live it up. And no, I've never lived abroad, but I even think that way when it just comes to traveling, even if I'm somewhere for a week or two. Like I'm so grateful, I'm so blessed to be here. I'm having an open mind because not everyone is afforded these opportunities. So
Yeah.
definitely look at it with an open mind.
And you also can call, sis. Like, if you miss them that bad, you have FaceTime, you have WhatsApp, where you most likely, if you're gonna live abroad, you're gonna use WhatsApp
Right.
or Facebook Messenger. Sis, you can call, and I promise you, the same thing they was doing when you was there, they doing it
Right.
when you already know what's going on.
Right.
You're gonna be fine. Have an open mind, keep your spirit intact, pray, meditate, and elevate.
Right, because when you were gone, you and I never missed a beat. Like the time was weird. Like I would be talking to you like on my way to work in the morning, as opposed to like, and you would be kind of like leaving or getting off work or something like that, or just now going. But it was like weird times. But I mean, you like you never you may never miss a beat with those that you really, that you really
Yeah.
that's really important. So like you will
For
still be
sure.
able to, like you said, FaceTime them. You'll be able to see them, and not only that, that time is gonna go by so fast.
It went by so fast. I was supposed to be there for 6 months. It turned into a year, and I still can't wait to go back. I've been back twice so already. Like I it's awesome. It
Right.
goes by so fast. You can't relive those moments, especially when a company is paying for it. I'm just saying.
Okay. There we go. That's the
Right.
main key. So, Nakaya, wherever you're from, I suggest that you take that opportunity and get that fear out of your head. And if you need a reference about that possible fear and some ways to get over it, I suggest you listen to episode 3 about traveling and anxiety. All right.
The
Okay.
Hi, my name is Charlotte, and I want to take the opportunities to travel and work abroad, but I fear my experiences as a black woman working overseas.
So I think, and I think that our experiences of being a black woman has our experience of being a black woman in America specifically has made us a bit jaded in some ways, right? Because we constantly experience certain things. However, don't let your experience here limit your experience there.
Right.
You can't change being a black. You can't change being black. You can't change being a woman, right? So I would say, I suggest that you focus your mindset on the things that you can change. And that is your mindset. So I would say take the opportunity with an open mind, with no expectations, and remove all like the apprehension, all of the things that you're concerned with, and just go for it. Like don't, and especially do it while you're young. You don't have like if you don't have no kids, like you don't have anything tying you down, just do it. Go for it. Live out loud, full. And if it doesn't work, you can always go back home. And that's for this caller and Nakia, right?
Nakaya,
You can always just go back and do it. It's like, just try it. Just try
It's not going
it. I
nowhere.
promise you will not be disappointed. But just don't limit yourself to, whatever confinements that you have here in America. Give yourself the opportunity to grow.
Right. And one thing, and I'm just going to put it out there. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But one thing that even just traveling abroad that I notice is if you can be black in America as a black woman, and just no disrespect to any of my other listeners, but let's just face it, if you can live in America as a black woman, certainly you can live anywhere else in the world. Like you can live in the Philippines, or you can live wherever the opportunity takes you, like, and still have a great experience. Like I think that a lot of times, like because of the big cultural differences and things like that, I think you'll find that you'll be pleasantly surprised, honestly. You will be
Sure.
pleasantly surprised. Not to say that racism isn't everywhere, or we're not gonna be ignorant and act like things don't happen. And like we talked about earlier, the staring, and we're not gonna act like things like that don't happen, but I think, like you said earlier, Sequez, is that you kind of gotta look at everything and look at the experience. You gotta look at it a little bit differently too. Like certain things, it's like, okay, over here, it's like, okay, you already know that. Whereas over there, it could be in a lot of different instances, like pure curiosity, like big cultural differences. Like in America, we're taught like you don't just stare at people like that, right?
Right.
But over there, that's a totally different thing. Like they don't even look at it like the way that we do. And so I think you would find that you would be pleasantly surprised. Like, and maybe for both of them though, maybe like try to, like, because both of them, it kind of seems as if they may have not traveled very often internationally at all. So like maybe get their feet wet, maybe go to Mexico, or I know it's not going to be the same, but it gives you a taste of like maybe some of the different experiences. It may kind of alleviate some of those concerns, or Canada, things like that. Like if you're not a big traveler, because I know Nakia stated that, or Nakia, would, I don't remember. She stated that she has never really traveled much. So I think that they both are just really being driven by fear.
Yeah,
And
the
I think
unknown.
it's really holding them back. So I think they really got to work on that, because you just don't want to miss your opportunity. And if you haven't traveled very much, before you, maybe you do, before you take an opportunity like that, maybe you want to start even just traveling somewhere internationally, just to understand, like, okay. And it's not going to be the same as living there. And I can't speak to that. Only you can, Sequez. But you kind of just got to go for it. And you just got to put yourself out there.
And you know what? I don't know anyone that has, because now living abroad, and I have now have friends living that lived abroad. I don't know not one person that came back and was like, "Oh my goodness, I hated it. It was horrible. It was
Right.
deplorable." Like, not one person. It's just about enjoying the experience. And yes, there are going to be times where you're not going to understand or you're going to be confused, but that's why you have resources, right? Like if you're going to school, you'll have somebody, you can find someone that can assist you in that. If you're going for work, they're definitely going to connect you with people where they can be assistants, right? So you're going to have some level of support unless you're trying to go backpacking. And if you are, go ahead with your bad self. Okay. But there's going to be someone that's going to be there to assist you. Again, like I didn't know. I thought that they didn't have tampons or whatever, right? But when I got there, I understood, oh, that person just didn't know where to go. But now that I live here, I know I need to go to SNR. SNR is like the Sam's Club or Costco of the Philippines. So I just know that I need to go to SNR because they have all the American products, right? So you're gonna learn, you're gonna adapt, you're gonna figure it out, and you're gonna go from there. And you're going to be successful if you want that for yourself.
And I'm glad you brought up the resources part too, because you mentioned like just having a sisterhood and a group of people that are there that you connected with. And so even in those travel groups, there's people all the time that are like, hey, I'm here now living in India, for work. If you want to connect, like that you can connect, like there's ways that you can connect with people in those areas as well. And not even just from a dating perspective, but like you can connect and just meet new
Yeah.
people while you're there. Like they talk about that all the time. So just be open. Just be
Be
open.
open.
Be open, girl. Be open. Well, that was the questions that we had for today. And is there any last words that you would like to say, Sequoia, as we get ready to wrap this on up? It's been so dope talking to you about your experiences, because a lot of people need to see this. Like a lot of, especially in our community, like they don't see or really realize or think about that there are people out there that's working and living overseas. Like it seems like almost this impossible thing. You can't even dream it up. Some people just can't even dream it up. It's not even something that they feel is even in their reach or plausible. So I think it's really dope that you came on here today to talk about that, because people really need to know that that is available, and they need to look up to that, and they need to hear someone tell them like it's going to be okay and you should do it. So thank you for coming on the show to talk about that today.
You're welcome, girl. My last words, I would say just one, be open, right? Be open, put yourself out there for opportunities. I will also say be vocal about what you want, right? Speaking things into existence. So if you and speaking, but you want to speak it, but you also want to put action behind it. And there is no limit to what you can have.
The only limit is what you put on it yourself. So if that's what something that you want, if you want to go forth and live abroad or travel abroad or whatever, do it, but do it with an open heart and remove all the expectation and just go for it. And you will adapt. Like you will adapt if you give yourself the opportunity to do so. And give yourself time. It may not be, you may not love it the first week. You may be homesick the first week. Don't just go back home. Give yourself time to grow and to adapt. So thank you again, Fatima, for this opportunity, for having me on your show. Oh my God. You called me out a couple of times, but that's fine. But thank you again for giving me the
Wouldn't be
opportunity.
me,
This was
and it
an
wouldn't
amazing
be us.
experience.
No problem. So listen, how can my listeners support you? How could they reach you? How can they connect with you?
Well, Fatima has lit a little match under me because I've been talking about wanting to start my own podcast for some time now. And so now I have started my own. And so you can find me and on my podcast, and I will be starting my first episode would ju drop July 5th. And you can find all that information on the website at www.champagneconvos with an S dot com, and you can find our Instagram page, our Facebook, and all in our Twitter. So I'll be, and I am also on Instagram personally at lipstick, the letter N and the word mirror. So lipstick and mirror. So yeah.
Yes, so y'all make sure when this episode drops for her Champagne Combos that you guys check out her new podcast. I know it's going to be dope. If you can hear her today, her energy is crazy. Like, you are going to love the
And
show.
Fatima will be on
Yours
there as well.
Yes, yours truly will be on there as a special guest. So you want to check me out and you want to support her as well. So don't Listen, don't sleep on this new podcast. You're going to want to check it out. So, and like she said, you can connect with her on all those social media platforms, and they will also be in the description. Okay, y'all. So that is a wrap. Thank you guys for listening again, as you have been doing. There, I have some people that listen every week, and I appreciate that. I certainly do not take it for granted. I certainly appreciate you all being there, a part of me, as I just do what I wish to do. This is a really fun thing and a really fun hobby for me that I truly, truly enjoy sharing my knowledge of traveling and talking about that. So, next week, you guys are going to be in for some real good information, and I cannot wait to talk to that guest next week. So, I will catch y'all then.